Hi, everyone. My name is Ann Pustel, and I'm your host of the Life, Love, and Relationships Teleseminar Series. If you are here to learn how you can create amazing health and energy, great relationships, and the fulfilling life that you are dreaming of and that is absolutely possible, then you have come to the right place. I'm a certified therapist and a coach and president of Coaching in a Nutshell. You can have the life you want, and I'm bringing you the speakers who will definitely show you how. Before we get started, there are two items of business we need to cover. First, I'd really like you to get the full benefit of this interview, so please go to Matthew James's audience dashboard page. Type into your browser address bar www.lifeloverelationships.com/James, and that's spelled J-A-M for Michael, E-S for Sam. You will know that you are on the right page when you see the words audience dashboard, and you'll see the wonderful smiling photo of our guest, Dr. Matthew James. There are lots of things you can do on this page, but right now, just type in your number one question that you want me to ask Matthew. Go ahead, type in your question now, please. Now to item number two. Matthew will be giving you a free gift as a thank you for being on this teleseminar, and I can tell you it is going to be amazing. Matthew will tell you more about this in just a moment, but not yet. What I would like to do now is introduce our guest. Matthew James, MA, PhD, is one of the most highly sought-after trainers and educators in the world today. He is responsible for bringing thousands of students closer to fulfilling their dreams each year with his life-altering techniques. He combines his knowledge of HUNA with cutting-edge therapeutic techniques to free people from self-imposed limitations and move them to new heights of health, happiness, and personal fulfillment. Dr. Matthew James is president of Kona University. Due to his expertise on post-traumatic stress disorder, indigenous cultures, and forgiveness, Dr. James has been featured in magazines and newspapers and on Fox News, CNN Headline News, and many other TV and radio shows around the world. And I would just like to say, you would think, because of the amount of work that Matthew James has done, that he would be about 60 years old. But look at his picture. He's not. He's done tons for someone so young. Welcome, Matthew.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. That was really cute. I know I do look young. I've had people say to me, are you eligible to drink yet? One lady said at the recent workshop I was just doing in Newport Beach. And I smiled and I said, you know, my 11-year-old and my 3-year-old call me the old guy, so I don't know. I have that dichotomy that I get to live, I guess.
Right. Well, welcome to my show, and I'm really, really delighted to have you here.
Thank you.
First of all, I know you've had an amazing journey. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey and how you were brought to this point and drawn into HUNA and Ho'oponopono?
Absolutely. I wrote my first book recently, and in the beginning of the book I talk about growing up and having this desire to learn how to meditate, and seeing my parents meditate and begging my mom to meditate. And, you know, as I was putting the book together, I verified all these things with my mom, because it was at the age of 5 I remember having this desire to just sit there and meditate and just did
5
that. Yeah, at 5. And she actually thinks it was 4, but I didn't want to argue with her. And I said, well, I'm going to put in the book 5 because that's what I remember. And, you know, I know.
Wow.
Having a PhD in psychology, I can talk about the fact that memories are sometimes not the most reliable source of factual information.
Yes.
And so I just loved it. And my father got to study with the son of one of the last practicing kahunas here in the islands, who had carried a 25th generation lineage of HUNA. And HUNA is a... HUNA is a modern label. It's not the most accurate label, but it's the one people are familiar with. It's a modern label for an ancient system of empowerment and flexibility of the mind, body, spirit. And he did a lot of what in ancient times here in Hawaii was called ho'omanna. Ho'omanna means to make energy, to become empowered. And I began learning that at the age of 13.
Wow.
And Studied neuro-linguistic programming with the people who created it, Richard Bandler. Got to do, you know, the fire walk with Anthony Robbins at the age of 11.
Wow.
So studied with Tony Robbins in the 80s, and I began teaching in the 90s, and really just gravitated towards teaching HUNA, and having lived this and really truly embraced it my entire life. You know, it's a 28th generation lineage, and so when I come here home to Hawaii, to Kona, I come home to these teachings, and so they're very sacred for me because they are a part of my family.
So I know that we only have an hour here, which your workshops are obviously not an hour. They're probably several days to a week or more. But what can you teach us about HUNA and the method of forgiveness, which, can you pronounce it correctly, please?
Oh, of course. It's called Ho'oponopono.
Okay.
And what it means, the key word in there is pono. Pono means to be right. And it doesn't mean I'm right, you're wrong. It means to have an unwavering congruency in yourself. It means to look in the mirror and love what you see back. It was a fundamental teaching. And when I went back to school to get my PhD in psychology, because we live in a modern world, and so I wanted to study the modern teachings of psychology, not just the ancient, to bridge that gap. For my research, I researched Ho'oponopono and validated that this forgiveness process, it works. And I knew it did, but to validate that, and from a Western thinking perspective, to be able to say, this process works, and it absolutely reduces that grudge that you hold, is amazing. And it's been very valuable, not just in how I teach, but in really approaching people who have a question as to whether or not these things are real.
Could you tell us more about it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it is a 45-minute process, and I think that's the gift that we're giving away to the people. I think we're doing a CD on that, because I know on a show that wouldn't make for good, that wouldn't make for a good show to do a 45-minute Ho'oponopono process. I've had people on the radio shows go, can you do an abridged version of it? And so, you know, one of the things in the Hawaiian culture to give back is I always try to offer something.
Right.
And so, you know, we have the CD where it takes you through it. But here's an overview.
Okay, great. Thanks. Because you'll get a moment to talk about your thank you gift in a few minutes.
Okay, of course.
Thanks.
And so I really, you know, here's an overview of it. The first thing is that forgiveness needs to become something that you believe is required, not an option. And so there's a few things that we need to talk about ahead of time before we even get to the overview of the process. It's kind of the belief system that was in place here in the islands. Forgiveness was required because it only hurts you to hold on to unforgiveness, to hold on to that grudge.
Yes.
Modern psychology has proven that. I've researched this. It increases your stress. It has negative effects on your overall health, your heart, your immune system. You don't hurt the other person. And in addition to that, we want to be forgiven. Now, the biggest stumbling block to forgiving is that people somehow think that if they forgive another person, that means they need to be friends with them again, that means that they need to become buddies. The Hawaiians are very intelligent. As an ancient culture, we're extremely intelligent. And even the most awful crime, you would still forgive that person, because what you want to do is you want to cut the connection, release it, and move forward in your life. And sometimes moving forward is without that person. So you need to separate whether or not you will be or associate with that person again. The idea here is that it's better to just kind of make a fresh start, to be pono. And a great example is in relationships, Anne. So many people carry their baggage into the next relationship that they get into.
Yes, absolutely.
They get out of one relationship because of, it's prevalent in our news, I might as well say it, a cheating spouse.
Yes.
And so you get into the next relationship, and you're all about, I'm not going to let my spouse cheat. Well, that's carrying the baggage forward.
Right.
You're doomed to then experience some negativity. And that's, the Hawaiians believed that before you started a path, you had to be pono. Because if you are not, you put that negative experience into your new path, and you're doomed to then experience it again.
So could you please let people know what pono means again? Because you said before you start a new path, you have to be pono.
Pono means to have an unwavering congruency, to feel right within your own skin, to
great,
to love yourself, to, and I think it boils down to what everyone wants, to be happy,
to
be happy with yourself, to be at peace.
Okay. Great, thanks.
And the word ho'o means to make.
Right.
Pono
okay.
means right, and when you say it twice, it can mean doubly right, but it can also mean to make it right with yourself and others.
Wow.
So ho'oponopono is a very powerful word. There was the idea of pono. There was a process of ho'opono, and then ho'oponopono is the process to become right with yourself and others.
That's amazing. Do you have, can you describe it in a few minutes? Is it possible to describe the method in a few minutes?
Yeah, it really, there were three major approaches, and I can describe all three of them. One of them was face-to-face, and so you would sit down with the person that had wronged you, and you would have a discussion without anger, without sadness, without fear, without any negative emotions, and you would express, and you would let everything out. And then the other person would get to do the same thing. And then you would end it with, please forgive me, I forgive you. There was no word for I'm sorry in the Hawaiian language. I'm sorry. If you try this on for a second, if you say I'm sorry, it's a statement of being. It's the energy of I'm sorry doesn't go any farther than the breath out of your mouth. And in fact, sometimes the response to I'm sorry can be, you are sorry. You're a sorry son of a gun.
Okay.
Please forgive me. The Hawaiian phrase, e kala mai iau. Please forgive me. And then you would get in response, I forgive you too. That creates an energy movement. If you just try this on in your head, that gets the ball rolling. And so forgiveness is a process. Sorry is a statement of being. If you want to forgive someone, you got to give up being sorry.
Right.
Sorry,
I just want to repeat that again. If you want to forgive someone, you have to give up being sorry.
Absolutely. You got to give up being sorry and begin the process of forgiveness. And I know, and I there was a lady in my study who, you know, I did my best to make sure that people in the study hadn't had any major traumas, and yet someone got in there, and even though we had said no trauma, she came in and did the process. And she emailed me and said, I wasn't supposed to, but I did. She said, for the past 10 years, I've been carrying this burden. She said, I finally let it go. I released it. And she said, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm able to move forward without this heavy weight on me. And it was very powerful for her. I mean, in her email, she told me, if I don't get this out to the planet, that I'm doing some sort of social injustice. And I emailed her back and said, that's a little heavy, I think. I said, I'll do my best. I
said, and I'm helping you do that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and the process that I studied was all in your mind. And a lot of people are familiar with Dr. Hugh Len, the person that he studied with, Morna Simeona, also taught my father. So we carry a similar lineage.
Right.
Papa Bray, the person that taught my father, also carried a lineage of Ho'oponopono. And the lineage that I teach is not the face-to-face, although I have done that and taught that. The main one we focus on is it's in your mind. And so you do a similar process, and yet in your mind, you're having the conversation with a person. And that's the one that I researched and validated that it works.
How does it work?
Well, the way it works is that we don't tend to experience another person as who they are. What we're really doing is we're experiencing how they are in our mind. And this is proven by psychology, by science. From the concept is called perception is projection.
Okay.
Goes back to Carl Jung, if you want to look at psychology. It goes back to all of the ancient teachings, not just Huna.
Right.
And it's this idea that we carry inside us our experience of the world around us. It's one of the major teachings in Huna. And the easiest way to understand this is if you wake up and you're in a bad mood, the world looks different than when you wake up in a good mood.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, the world didn't magically change. You did. Everyone has an experience of a sibling, a loved one, or a friend that you think is one way, and someone else that's close to you looks at that same person and sees them as being completely different.
That's so true.
Okay.
So true.
So what Morna Simeona, what Papa Bray, the process of Ho'oponopono, what that works on is the idea that the person outside you does exist. They are real. Yet how you know them is something you carry inside. And so you can do the same process of Ho'oponopono, have the discussion, get that forgiveness, and get that reduction in those grudge-like feelings all inside your mind. That's the way it works.
So that's what you're talking about is sort of along the lines of we don't see the world as it is, we see the world as we are.
Exactly. And that is the easiest way to look at perceptions projection, which I think is a very easy concept to understand. Takes a lifetime, I think, to really truly master it, though.
Absolutely. And by picturing, you picture the other person in your mind and go through the Ho'oponopono process. Is that how that works?
Yeah, exactly.
And it works because it works for us.
It does. And I've had people say to me, but how is that going to affect the other person?
Right.
And my response is very simple. It will affect you. And then when you become or you get around that person again, you will have changed. You know,
right.
I'm sitting here in my office in Kona, and if a person walks in the door and they have a smile on their face, I'm going to react differently than if they walk in with a frown on their face.
Right.
And so we sometimes think that we need to change other people. And every spiritual leader that I've ever gotten to talk to, anyone that has ever taught these types of teachings before, and this includes me in the workshops that I teach, I think we all say the same thing. You need to begin with you. And if you forgive the person inside, the next time you're around them, that's going to get communicated unconsciously through your actions, through your words, through everything. You are going to be a different person, and they will respond to you in a different way.
And does this work for people? Well, I guess it does. You had the email from the woman who had tried to deal with trauma for 10 years. So for people who are really, really, really angry about something.
Yes. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that we need to do. To find happiness, we need to be willing to give up our black bags.
Yeah.
And Papa Bray used the analogy of a black bag. And what he said is that when you carry something with you and refuse to release it, what you do is you trap that energy in a black bag and store it in your physical body. When these build up, they become baggage. He called them black bags because to get down a path, we need light. We need to be able to see where we're going.
Yeah.
And darkness is the absence of light. Negative emotions create darkness in our lives. And so we need to be willing to face that and to release them. And, you know, the lady in the study, she did the process one time and was free of this baggage. Now, I've had follow-up emails with her, and she said, in a follow-up email, she said to me, do I ever need to do this forgiveness process again? And I always smile because I get that question so often. There was a lady in San Jose at the HUNA workshop that I ran there towards the end of last year. And she gets done doing the process, and she has tears in her eyes, and she says, this is amazing. I feel cleansed. I feel, and I went, pono? And she said, yes, I feel pono. And I, she said, oh, this is so great. Will I ever have to do it again? And I said, let me tell you the equivalent of what you're asking. You go out to a restaurant, you eat a salad, you go, wow, I feel so healthy. I feel so great. I'll never have to eat healthy again because I'm healthy now. I can go eat Snickers bars the rest of my life. And she laughed and she said, so I will have to do it again. Huna believes you have a spiritual body, a mental body, an emotional body, and a physical body. And there are certain things that we need to do on the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, and the physical that are similar. We need to practice healthy physical habits. We need to practice healthy emotional habits, mental and spiritual. You don't just meditate once and become enlightened. I know it has happened in our past. For the rest of us that need to work on it, it's something you do on a regular basis.
Yes. I think it was Jim Rohn or somebody who said, somebody was asking about motivation, and he said motivation is something you have to do every day. It's just like bathing.
Right. That's the same thing. And when students ask me, what do you do the most on a regular basis, is I set my intentions in the morning with my meditation, and every night I do Ho'oponopono. And that's of everything that I teach, of everything that I practice. These are the two things that I do on a regular basis because they really help spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically.
So when you say every morning you set your intentions when you meditate, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think one of the things that people really need is they need to begin to find a purpose in their life. We seem to live in Western society almost in a purposeless society. And we go around, and one of the things that I've said, and I've written a few articles on this, that we need to give up being human havings or human doings and get back to human beings.
Yes.
We live in a world that focuses on having things, accumulating things. Now, by the way, I'm all for people being wealthy and prosperous. I'm all for people having amazing relationships, and I'm absolutely for that. That doesn't bring happiness, though. I've been there, done that. That having a ton of things doesn't bring in happiness. So then people begin to turn to doing, because to truly have what you want to have, you got to be doing what you're meant to be doing.
Right.
The problem with that, though, is that I've met so many people in the thousands of workshops that I've ran around this planet. In Japan, I've heard the same thing. In Canada, I've heard it from my Australian students. I mean, I've heard this in Europe. I got this job, I'm making good money, I don't know if this is what I'm meant to be doing. I don't know if I like this. This whole question. And so people wake up one day and they go, God, I don't know if I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing. Being comes first. That's why we're called human beings, not human doings, not human havings. In order to have what you're meant to have, you have to be doing what you're meant to be doing. But to do what you're meant to do, you have to know who you are first. You have to know who you are meant to be, and that's finding your purpose. But this is so huge, Anne. This is like...
Yes.
I know people, and people come up... I've had a guy come up to me in the Newport Beach weekend that I just ran earlier this year, and he came in and he said, I want to find my life's purpose, and I want to find it this weekend. And I said, anything's possible, man. If you find it, and I've had students find it in a weekend workshop, I said, I give you the big thumbs up. Good job. I said, and here's an easy way to start. What do you want to be today? Who do you want to be today? What is your purpose for today? Let's begin with something really simple. Every morning I wake up and I say, here is my purpose today. Here's who I am going to be today. Here is my intention for the day.
Can you give us an example? So what would you say when you say, here is who I'm going to be today. Here is what my intention is for today. Can you give us an example?
When I just came back from California. I was there for 52 days. And I know someone said to me, but who's counting, right? Was that you, Anne? I think you said that.
Yes, it was this morning.
But who's counting? I was, because my kids missed me, and I missed my wife, and I missed being home. And
I bet.
Yeah, and so I got back home on a Friday, and Saturday morning I woke up. And so I did my ha breathing. I got my focus. I set my intention, and the intention for that day was to find happiness in my family, to connect with my children, and to truly experience the joy of being with them. And that's who I wanted to be that day. I wanted to be dad. I left the computer off. I turned my phone off.
Wow, good for you.
And for that entire day, I just hung out with the kids. And it is something that I had promised to them. And one thing that's so important is that, you know, with children especially and in relationships, you really need to stick by your word.
Yes.
And I told them after being gone and having, I love what I do, and they know I love what I do because I am who I'm meant to be. I know who I'm meant to be. I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing. And I think that's a big lesson for them. And we still miss each other when I'm gone.
Yeah.
So I came back, and that's who I wanted to be. Well, then I woke up on Monday, and I had to go into the office. So I set an intention. Here's who I'm going to be today. It's not that I'm changing a role. I'm still true to who I am. But I'm going in there and realizing here's my focus, here's my intention for the day. Reconnect with the office staff. Reconnect with the work in the office. And make sure that the people that haven't seen me in the office for 52 days are able to have time with me to be able to ask the questions that they need to ask.
Right.
And you do that on a regular basis. that begins to accumulate, and you'll begin to find what is your overall life's purpose, because kind of like exercising and eating healthy, it becomes a practice.
And the accumulation of that practice starts to direct people towards what they're meant to be doing?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. And I had a student, and his name is Dave, and Dave lives up in Toronto, and he came into one of the workshops. It's such an amazing story. He came into the Newport Beach workshop about 2 or 3 years ago and borrowed money to get there. And he's just like, he's out on a limb. He goes, I don't know who I am. I'm here to discover this. And after having gone through a couple of workshops there, he came up to me at the end and he said, I know who I am now. I know what I'm meant to do. I know what I'm going to go back home and do. He went back home and did it. And within a couple of months, not only was he prosperous, and prosperity is great, the key that I got out of him, he had never felt more fulfilled, complete, and happy in his life because he was on his path.
And he was able to access that through some of the work that he did with you.
Oh, absolutely. Forgiveness, releasing the black bags, getting to understand truly who we are meant to be. And that's really a big thing, you know. The people that come to our workshops, we did a survey. We were doing some filming, and we brought in a crew, and they said, have your students come out here, the ones that want to, and we're going to film them, because, you know, this whole YouTube thing, and
yes,
everyone wants videos online.
Yes.
So I gave in. I said, okay, bring a camera in. But I left it out of the workshop. A lot of the things that we do, I'm really in alignment with the ancient teachings. We have elders. We have kupuna that come to our workshops. And so we have the blessings from them. What
does that term mean?
Kupuna means elder.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. And so we have elders that I really, you know, I teach this ancient concept, and I need to make sure that we are pono with the teachings.
Yes.
I know we live in a modern age, and I have to balance the internet with respect for the ancient teachings.
So we had the
students go outside and film them. And I thought people would talk about losing weight and about making more money and about finding a relationship. And all of them, without any prompting, said, I had this huge gaping hole in my life, and I tried to fill it with things. And what Huna had given, each of them said, what Huna gave them was a way of fulfilling that. Not with anything other than a purpose, knowing who you're meant to be. And that's a very powerful place to be in your life.
It's an incredible place to be because it goes back to the pono that you were talking about before and people being able to be in their own skin.
Exactly. And that's it. It's it. Not only being comfortable in your own skin, but knowing your own skin at the same time.
Yes, yes. And being right with yourself, as you
yes.
said. So we're going to be able to talk for 3 hours, right? Because I just have so many questions to ask you.
I know. The time flies on interviews. I know. I just looked over at my clock and I went, oh, my goodness, halfway through.
It's crazy.
I know.
In a minute, we'll talk about your thank you gift. But I believe you said that there are three ways to do Ho'oponopono, and you gave us two.
Yes. So the first way was face-to-face.
Yes.
And almost every family had someone that could facilitate that process in ancient times here in Hawaii. The other approach, which was also practiced in ancient times, the entire thing was done in your mind, where
right.
exactly what we talked about, and these are the CDs that I have, and this is the approach that I take in the workshops. The third way was a combination of the two, and that was where if what happened was really heavy and you weren't able to face the person, and yet at the same time, you felt compelled to talk to the person face-to-face, you would do the one in your mind first with that one person, and then you would go have a discussion with them face-to-face. And the research that I did was really focusing in on one person. So there's a ton of different ways to do Ho'oponopono, but those were the big three. One was all face-to-face, all in your mind, and the third way was really in your mind with that person first, and then you go have the meeting with them.
Okay. All right. And it's the one where you have the meeting, whether it's combined with the in your mind or the meeting by itself, is it always, I won't use the word supervised, but is there always someone there?
There is,
mediating or whatever it is?
Yeah, you know, there's contradiction as to whether or not that was always the case. The Hawaiians did not have a system of writing things down.
Right, okay.
Extensively. It was very oral in tradition.
Right.
And there were four kingdoms here in Hawaii. And so in my research and in the work that I've done and the people that I've gotten to meet, I have met families that said they knew how to do the face-to-face without a mediator. However, the norm was to have someone there to help kind of keep things nice and calm. That was the norm. But I can't say it was 100%.
Okay. All right. So let's just take a moment here for anybody who joined in late. I'll repeat what I said earlier. If you aren't already on Matthew's audience dashboard page, please go there now. Please type in www.lifeloverelationships.com/James. That's J, A, M for Michael, E, S for Sam. You will know you're on the right page when you see the words audience dashboard and you can see the photo of our guest, Dr. Matthew James. Matthew has a free gift especially for you as a thank you for listening to us today on this interview. Matthew, can you please tell people about your free thank you gift?
I believe that the thank you gift is going to be the Ho'oponopono CD. I know you were working that out with our marketing staff here.
Yes.
I believe that it is our Ho'oponopono CD where you get to experience the process of forgiveness. And it's one that was recorded when I was up in Ontario. I was up in Pembroke. And
you in Pembroke?
Yeah, I went to Pembroke, Ontario.
Why would you be there? It's a small town.
I know. Look, you know where it is. Good for you.
Well, I'm from Toronto originally. I live in Vancouver now. But
I've met people from Toronto that didn't even know where Pembroke is. I got called up there, and it was an amazing story. And one of the reasons why I really love this CD, there's a Native Canadian that was up there, and he was one of the spiritual leaders in the tribe out there in Pembroke. So I think if you're aware with Pembroke, there's a military base and there's a large Native Canadian community out there.
Yes.
And I don't know what happened. One of my students said, I had a calling to run a training. I have about 40 or 50 people that want to come in. Will you come to Pembroke and do it? And I said, sure. I mean,
wow.
Oh, absolutely. That's just kind of the way the universe works sometimes.
That's awesome.
And the spiritual leader in the Native Canadian tribe out there had a dream that someone from a far off place was coming, and he did a peace pipe ceremony and a smudging ceremony. And it was so funny when he met me. He said, "You're a lot whiter than I thought." He said, "In my dream, you were a little darker." And I said, "Well, thank you." I said, I have to admit, I am a white guy. And he said, no, he said, that was good. And in the middle of the ceremony, he turned to me and he had me do a chant, and I chanted it. I chanted an ancient Hawaiian chant to higher consciousness. And he said that was the same chant he had heard in his dream. And my
wow.
Gut had told me to bring a gift of a kukui nut lei. And I don't know why. I very rarely travel with them because of the troubles that you get into with, you know, immigration and whatnot. But I brought it, and I presented that to him, and he gave me an eagle feather in the ceremony.
Oh, well.
And we recorded that entire weekend, and it was a very powerful weekend because not only because it started off with that experience and that meeting, but because we were in such a wonderful, small, secluded, out-of-the-way place, and we had a mix of people who were very interested in native concepts, who were interested in medicine. I had doctors in there, psychologists, and we got to do Ho'oponopono with this group, and I'm so glad we recorded that. And that's the CD that we're giving away for you guys.
And so you said it's 45 minutes, and does it walk people through the process step by step?
Absolutely. Step by step, from a beginning of an explanation about why you should forgive, the Hawaiian code of forgiveness, and then it goes right into the process. And it allows you to do the process with everyone in your life, and not just one person, but everyone gets to go into the mix here. And we tested it out with our HUNA students to make sure that it got the results before we put it out there, and it's been one of our most popular products.
Well, and totally understandable why it would be, because it's one thing to read it in a book and then go try it yourself, but to have, is it your voice?
Yes, it is.
So to have you there with your voice describing the process step by step, where people don't have to keep referring to a book or anything, is incredible. That's great.
Yeah, I had trouble describing it in my book. You know, of course, the first book that I wrote had to be about Huna. It's called The Foundation of Huna. And,
yes, I have it. It's great.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad you got your copy.
Yes, thank you.
I explained the process in there, and I struggled with that because, you know, I talked to one of my teachers, Etua Lopez, a teacher at the palace here on the island. He very influential and into the Hawaiian culture. And I kept the explanation in the book very simple because it was an oral tradition, and some things do need to be explained verbally, and
yes.
I need to adhere to that. I think there's a lot of people out there that, you know, they go against certain customs that I think need to be adhered by, especially if you're teaching the ancient concepts.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
And so I kept the explanation in the book very simple, and I think I do recommend it even in the book to call up the office and see if the CD is available.
Right. Well, I just want to say thank you so much. There is no one who is listening, well, let me put it a different way, everyone who is listening to this interview has someone in their life or some experience that they are angry or upset about, that they're carrying around a black bag, to use your term, and this process can help everybody clear that away, clear the energy away, and be pono with themselves and pono with others.
Yeah, it really does, and I think that's one of the things that people need to begin to understand, that it is all right to forgive others. In the system here in Hawaii, which when the first Westerners came to Hawaii, they wrote in their journals that they found a group of people that were almost completely devoid of mental and physiological disease. That's not to say that it didn't exist. When things happened, they had an integrative system to deal with it. And so when you would hurt your physical body, you would still have to do work spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. You wouldn't just fix one aspect. If you hurt on the emotional level, you would also have to do spiritual, mental, emotional, physical. So it was a very holistic system. And Ho'oponopono was one of the absolute, I think, most widely used tools for really helping mentally and emotionally, and which that clears up the channel for the spiritual energy, higher consciousness to come in.
Yes.
And it really does facilitate a trickle-down effect.
Right.
And does affect the physical body.
So thank you so much for that, for that amazing, amazing gift. I really encourage everybody, when we tell you later on how you can access that gift, I really, really encourage you to download it, please. I will tell you in a few moments how to get your free thank you gift, but while you're on this page, I want everyone to find the special offer button. It's big and it's orange, so it's really easy to find. And if you could click on that button now, please. You'll know you're on the right page when you see the word special offer, followed by the words Matthew James's special offer package. On this page, you can read all about the exclusive, wonderful special offer that Matthew and his team have put together only for you for listening to this interview today. Matthew, your package is called Matthew James's Special Offer Package. In a couple of sentences, could you please tell our listeners a little bit about what's in the special offer package that you and your team have put together for our listeners?
Well, the package includes a much more extensive overview of techniques to help you release things like negative emotions, anger, sadness, fear, hurt, and guilt. And it goes into greater detail with regards to how to handle this. It also really helps you understand at a deeper level who you are and to really connect with the energy. You know, we live in such a fabulous time. I don't know how many people are aware of this. In ancient times, certain things were believed, that we were beings of light, that we had energy, that we had the ability to get to a causation, a creation point, and we've lost that somehow along the way. We've let those things go. Science and modern technology has really brought us back full circle. And what I mean by that is that right now, we live in a time where things like energy, where perception is projection, cause and effect, being in control of your own health, these things are now proven. When I was teaching back in the 90s, I would have people say to me, I would start talking about energy, and they would go, yeah, but energy isn't real. And I would go, I mean, even as they're sitting there slurping down a Starbucks or, you know, whatever it was, but we've got 5-hour energy drinks now. I had one guy saying to me, I don't know about energy, and he's drinking one of those power shakes.
Oh, God.
I said, why are you drinking that? He said, because I need more energy. Oh, I need more zip, he said. I said, nice catch. I said, come on, why are you drinking that? He said, I need more energy. He said, but I'm not talking about this. This energy is real. He said, I'm talking about that woo-woo metaphysical energy. And I laughed, and, you know, I don't get that as much anymore. And the reason why is that physics, quantum physics, they've proven that energy exists. They've proven that at the deepest level of who we are, we have energy. Dr. Bruce Lipton, I mean, a great book. I know I'm on here talking about some of the things that I do, but if you haven't read Biology of Belief.
Yes.
What an amazing. He has validated that energy affects your cells and your body before chemicals do. The pills that we take, the neurotransmitters, and you know, Deepak Chopra, he was on the cutting edge in the 80s.
Yes.
When he said every thought creates a chemical that trickles down to your cells. Well, Bruce Lipton kicked that up a notch. The energy affects the cells first. We
wow.
live in a world where things are proven, that energy exists, that we are able to tap into these things. And the set that is offered really helps you to begin to get an understanding of that. Because now it's no longer a question of whether or not these things are real. It's how can I learn to begin to use what is real? Energy,
yes.
higher
yes.
consciousness, release work. It's not going to be the answer to everything, but it is going to definitely help you to understand how you tick. It's kind of like a user manual for your universe.
I would just like to let people know I have a copy of those CDs. I have the set. And when I got it, I opened it up. It was like, okay, I opened one flap, and there are some CDs. And I opened another flap, and there are more CDs. Then I opened another flap, and there are more CDs. And then I opened another flap, and there are more CDs. It's huge. There are, I don't know, 10 or 12, I think, CDs altogether. And it's a fabulous package, just a fabulous package with lots of information.
Well, I really wanted to make sure that we really create some empowerment out there. One of the things that I put at the bottom of my slides that I do in all of my presentations, it says at the bottom of every one of my slides, empower the planet. And I've had students ask me, what do you mean by that? And I said, really, I'm here to do as much as I can to get this information out there, to really help people understand who they are,
yes.
how amazing they are, and to really help them gain that understanding. And that's the title of my book is The Foundation of Huna, Ancient Wisdom for Modern Times. And it's not about going back to these ancient times. It's about getting those concepts and integrating it into our modern lives. Because if not, if you can't integrate it into your modern lives, then it becomes two separate lives.
Thank you so much, Matt, for such an incredible package that you have put together for our listeners. If people would like to take you up on your special offer at this exclusive 50% discount, please scroll to the top of the screen and click on the Add to Cart button. The rest is really easy. You just fill in the form. You click on the Submit Order button. And remember that in a few minutes, I'll be telling you how to claim Matthew's free gift just for listening to this interview. So, you said something before about energy and about
yeah.
people, the elders and people you've worked with that you have learned from dealing with energy. We're pretty blind in this culture, aren't we? We just sort of walk around blind and bump into all sorts of energy and don't deal with it. And it's our rushed, harried, hurried culture. It's the doing that you were talking about.
Yeah, being human doings or human havings instead of human beings, yes.
And we miss out on a lot of that energy, on a lot of the power of the energy.
And the funny thing is that it's one of the biggest growing markets in Western society, how to increase your energy through vitamins, minerals, power drinks, coffee. I mean, Starbucks was booming for a while there.
Yes.
And so unconsciously, we crave it. We absolutely crave an increase in our overall energy. Look, Huna's original name, Ho'omanna, manna is energy. It's like prana, chi, ki. The word manna means energy. And so Huna or Ho'omanna is really a study of how do you gain control over your energy so that you are in control of that from a day-to-day basis. Go ahead.
What do you get if you're in control of your energy on a day-to-day basis? So what? How does that shift things for us?
Well, if you look at it from a physics standpoint, and I don't want to get too far out there.
Right.
And I'm talking quantum physics now. I'm just talking physics.
Okay.
I was in a hotel room, obviously, for 50-something days. And and on my downtime, I watched things like the Discovery Channel, you know, the Learning Channel.
Yeah.
And they had this entire show on physics. And all of these physicists got up and said the entire physical world, even what you are made up with, boils down to energy and an expression of energy. And I was like, wow, man, these guys sound real spiritual. I was blown away. I was about to change the channel. I watched the entire hour. I've seen shows on quantum physics, and they have validated scientifically that everything boils down to energy.
Yes.
Now we find through scientific research by people like Bruce Lipton that energy affects our physical body, which Huna also says energy affects our entire world around us. Well, it's so intangible, because what is energy? You can't see it, you can't taste it, you can't smell it, but you can feel it. You can feel it, and it affects your thoughts. If you've ever woken up on a day where you had nothing to do and you had so much energy that you're just jittery, and you've had the opposite occur, where you've woken up on a day where you have a ton of things to do and there's no energy there, what you're suffering from is a lack of understanding of how to tap into this energy and control it. And so to answer your question, Ann, Huna really in the early stages, in the early levels, we're going to be teaching our 42nd Huna workshop here in Kona in September now. We've been doing this twice a year now for 21 years.
Sorry, you said, you're 42nd. Okay.
Yeah, we do it twice a year. So for 21 years, it's our 42nd Huna. And where we start off with the first group, the new people that are coming to the workshop, is how do you get in control of your energy? What is energy? What are the different types of energy? How do they affect you? Some energies are more emotional. Others are more thought-based. Others are more physical-based. Some of them are more, you know, fiery, motivational. How do you tap into them with conscious intention and flow that energy so that when you need it, it's there. When you want to turn it off, it's there. When you got to feel grounded, you can feel grounded. When you want to feel motivated, you can feel motivated. And it really does come down to learning what the energies are and how to tap into it.
So this is fabulous. And I have another question I really want to ask you. But first, I just want to make sure that everybody has been to the special offer page. If you haven't, here's the link to Matthew's webpage for this teleseminar interview, www.lifeloverelationships.com/James, J-A-M for Michael, E-S for Sam. On this page, look for the special offer button, that big orange button, and click on that button now so you can read all about the exclusive special offer that Matthew has put together just for you listening to this teleseminar. So please, please take advantage of Matthew's huge generosity. His special offer is a 50% discount. Click on the Add to Cart button. The rest is easy. Just fill in the form and click on the Submit Order button. So I just had a question that just, what I wanted to ask you was, it popped back into my head.
Mm-hmm.
What do people misunderstand about Huna? What are the things that you find people question or have a negative attitude about or misunderstand about Huna?
That's a good question. I think some of the things that I hear the most is the first one is it a religion?
Hmm.
I think that's the biggest question that I would get. I don't get that as much now, I think, because there's a lot more information out there about Huna and Ho'oponopono.
Right.
And I used to get that a lot more. And it's not a religion. There was a religion here in the islands, and having grown up here my entire life, I've been here. There's a big difference. Huna is more of a spiritual practice, but it would include psychological concepts, energy work, Imagine if psychology included an openness to higher consciousness, spirituality, energy, and holistic healing. That would be what HUNA is.
Wow.
And then the other big one is that, how will this fit into my life? And I think that's the one I get more often now. Okay, I've learned HUNA, but I live over here, and these are my beliefs. And a great example of that, there was a student in my Newport Beach workshop. This was about a year ago now, and I was teaching one of my HUNA workshops there in Southern California. And I kept saying the word spiritual body, spirituality. And she raised her hand and she said, I don't like that word spiritual. And I went, okay, how about higher self? She said, nope. I said, okay, how about the Hawaiian word aumakua? That's a nice way of saying higher self. She said, nope. I went, okay, how about God? And she went, oh, no, no, no. And I went, oop, wrong direction. I said, okay, how about collective unconscious? And she said, I love that one. I went, great. Anytime I say any of those other words, just substitute it for collective because they're all the same thing.
Huh.
And she said, no, they're not. And I went, I'm not going to get into a no, they aren't, yes, they are battle with you. I have two kids. I do that enough at home. I said, here's the deal. They are all the same thing. I'm a father. I'm a teacher. I'm a doctor. I'm the president of a university. How many other things am I? And when I get in front of my kids, they look at me one way. They call me dad. When I go into the office, people look at me one way. When I get up in front of a group and I'm teaching, they look at me one way. That's kind of how different cultures, different people, different individuals look at this thing that we call energy. Some of them see it as spiritual. Some of them see it as collective consciousness. Some of them see it as God. HUNA is really unique in that HUNA doesn't care what you call these things. That, in fact, with HUNA, you take the teachings and you take it home and you make it fit in your life. And so if you're very religious, anything where we talk about higher consciousness, substitute it for God. If you're very spiritual, then use the word spirituality. If you like Jungian, it's collective. Or if you just like the universal energy, at that level, it's just energy. And so one of the things that people have trouble with HUNA is they wonder if it's going to fit. And oddly enough, it fits really well.
So anybody, no matter their religious beliefs or their philosophical or spiritual beliefs, HUNA, they can study HUNA, and that will not conflict with what they believe.
You name it, and over the past 21 years, we've had them come. Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, Baptist minister came and took a whole bunch of levels of HUNA. A couple of Mormons. In addition to that, John Kaimikawa, a very spiritual teacher, lives here in the islands, passed away a few years ago. He was a devout Mormon, and he would get up in front of people and say, these teachings don't conflict with some of the most strict religions. If anything, they enhance your ability. And that's truly, I think, the benefit of every spiritual teaching. Spiritual teachings are meant to help you move down your path, not to make one path right or wrong. There's a Hawaiian saying that I learned from one of my teachers, Uncle George Naope, the late Uncle George Naope, who instrumental in my life. He passed away last year. And he had above his halau, his school, a saying, and it was, a'ohe pau ko ike ko halau. And that means, think not that all wisdom is in your school.
Huh.
And I asked him, why do you have that up there? And he said, because some people come to me and they are masters in their own paths. And they're here to listen to me. I have to remember that they know so much, and I have to respect that. And at the same time, I ask them to remember I know a lot and to respect that. And in the Hawaiian culture, it wasn't about my path is right, your path is wrong. All paths lead to the same place. And so a'ohe pau ko ike ko halau means when I'm sharing these thoughts with you, everything I've said in this interview, it's just sharing one aspect of it. It's not to make anything that you believe in or that you think right or wrong. It's just another way of looking at it. And then on a spiritual teaching, you have to find the similarities to get down your path. And we need to give up arguing over the differences.
Yes.
And I think we do that a lot.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think we expend our energy and our time on details and things that aren't serving people.
Exactly. I mean, just the major religions around the planet that have fun. I'm not saying all of them have, and I'm not a theologian, so I don't want to step off my foundation of what I know. Here's what I do remember growing up here and learning in Western society. Certain religions have argued that their God is right and the other God is wrong. And oddly enough, from a Huna perspective, what they're basically saying is that my experience is right, your experience is wrong. And you're never going to win that argument.
Yes.
You're never going to win that. And until we give that up and realize that the experience is right for the person.
Yes.
And because it's right for them, it doesn't need to make it wrong for you. What you need to do is find what's right for you.
Yes.
And then you'll be fulfilled. And that's what Huna teaches.
So why was Huna outlawed in the islands for years?
Well, almost everything here was outlawed. You know, the father, Daddy Bray, whose son Papa Bray taught my father, he was a practicing kahuna here. And he lived in a time where, and this is one of the things that makes Huna so beautiful, it's an unbroken lineage. I can trace my lineage back to ancient teachings without a break.
Where it was passed down orally from generation to generation?
Exactly.
Well,
whereas in things like the Native American culture, you sadly enough, you sometimes see a 100-year break between practice and modern expression because of Western influence coming in. And here in the islands, hula was outlawed for a while.
Hula?
Hula, dancing.
Whoa.
There was a law here, and I've had people say to me, yeah, but that was before statehood. No. We believe that the last laws were quietly pulled off the books in the 80s. In the 80s, we found laws still in the books that prohibited certain practices of the ancient culture here.
So we're talking about 25 years ago. That's really recent.
Oh, yeah. There was a kahuna that was arrested right outside of Hulihe'e Palace for chanting, and this was in the 60s.
Wow.
And so Huna was outlawed for a while because of a misconception as to what it was. And again, what we were just talking about, people coming here and believing that their path was right and that what they found here in the islands was wrong. And people like Daddy Bray, who continued to practice the ancient ways, taught it to his son. That was taught to my father, taught to me. And my son this past March attended the level one of Huna and has begun to want to learn it now. So it's going to be passed on to another generation. That's going to be 29 generations now.
That's your 11-year-old son?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We were driving back home from school yesterday. I picked him up from school, and he began to talk to me about Huna and had all these questions for me. They just came out of nowhere.
Wow.
And so it's not outlawed anymore, but we definitely did go through a period on our planet where there was an intentional desire to take these teachings and wipe them out.
Right.
And we have some small pockets, some places like here in the islands in Hawaii, where we can trace our lineage right back to the ancient teachings. And they've been kept pure and undiluted for generations now. And I think that's a real major benefit of Huna and the teachings.
Where do you teach out of?
The long workshops that I do, the ones that we've been running now for 21 years here, the 9-day workshops, are only in Kona.
Well,
however,
that must be beautiful.
Yeah, it is. I know. I've had people say to me, oh, it's such a, I have to fly all the way to Hawaii. Oh, twist my arm. But I go around, I do a lot of weekend workshops as well. So I do weekend trainings on Huna, Huna Prosperity Weekends. And at our website, huna.com, HUNA.com, is an entire list of all of our workshops that we do. And I know I'm going to Newport Beach, Portland, and Seattle this year still. I still have a few weekends that I'm going to be doing.
Wonderful.
But our longer 9-day workshop is here in Kona.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So for anybody who wants to get started with this, because you offer so much, what's the best place for them to start? What's the first step?
Huna.com. I think that's the best step, I think. Huna.com, HUNA.com.
Okay.
Has the information about my book. I think it has links to articles, videos, the products that we have. It also links up to our other sites. The university website is kona.edu. But you can get all that linked up from huna.com. I think we have all the websites kind of linked together there.
So for And you have a couple of day workshops, 2 or 3 day workshops. Are those your beginner workshops, in essence?
It is. And I know not everyone can travel. I know that's why we have a lot of CD product. I think the special offer that we're doing is an example of that, where people that can't travel, they can listen to the CDs, the book, and the 2 day workshops. We have 2 and 3 day workshops that we do run.
Okay. Excellent. Because I would really encourage people to get involved, to learn more about HUNA, and to experience it, because that's where the learning really is.
Absolutely. It is an experiential training. It is an experiential workshop. Even the weekend workshops are very much participation, experiential, because we can sit around talking about it for a long time, but unless you start actually doing something with it,
yes,
then you're not going to have the experience of it.
I went through a period in my life, actually, where I didn't want to spend the money. I didn't think that things would help. I didn't know if they would have an effect. And then I started to get into going to different trainings with different people. And it's changed my life.
Oh, it absolutely has. And I've had people ask me all the time. And first of all, we keep our weekend trainings very affordable. I mean, they're still under $100.
For a weekend?
Yeah, I know. I've had some people say to me, I know other companies out there that charge $300, $400. And I said, I really want to make this information available to as many people as possible. And it becomes a question of, and I think what you brought up is investment.
Yes.
When you invest in yourself,
yes.
When you invest in something that's going to give you a return, then it's a very powerful purchase.
I also thought, well, I can just read a book. And especially because I'm a therapist, so I can read a book and I'll just get it out of it. And it's not the same. It's just not the same. So I really, really encourage people to, especially if it's under $100, I will see you in Seattle, Matt. I'm in Vancouver. That's just down the road.
I'm going to be there in December. I'm going to be in Seattle in December. I routinely go there in December because all the people, I love Seattle. So beautiful. And they tell
yes.
me always come in December because it'll be raining and everyone will want to be indoors. If I come in the summer and the sun is out, they
yes.
will skip my workshop to go outdoors.
That's great.
I was warned by them. So I go in the rainy season, rainy and cold, and I'm there December 11th. I'll be in Seattle.
Well, I will see you there.
Very cool.
I'm very excited. I didn't realize you would be in Seattle. Okay. This is how you can get your free thank you gift. You need to be on the Audience Dashboard webpage. It is www.lifeloverelationships.com/James. J-A-M for Michael, E-S for Sam. To get to the thank you gift, just click on the special offer button. That will take you to the special offer page. Then scroll down and look for the box with the red dotted lines that has the heading Matthew James's Thank You Gift. Fill in your name and email address, and literally within moments, we will automatically send you your link to Matthew's free thank you gift. If you don't see the thank you gift, make sure you're on the special offer page first, not the audience dashboard page, and then refresh the page. For anybody who joined the interview late and missed some of what we spoke about, don't worry. We will be posting the replay in a few minutes and we'll leave it up for 48 hours. If you want to share this free 48-hour replay with a friend, please send them to www.lifeloverelationships.com. And Matt and I were talking about where to start. The thank you gift is absolutely the place to start, and the package as well. They are very affordable. You can listen to them in the privacy of your own home. You can take your time with them. So if you haven't already done so, now is the time to take advantage of Matthew's special offer, because it really, really, really will help you. I have the CDs. It's absolutely fabulous. You don't want to miss this exclusive 50% discount. Just click on the Add to Cart button and fill in the form and click on the Submit Order button. Thank you to everybody who is listening to this interview. Matthew, thank you so much. I am so honored that you joined us today. Thank you for taking the time to join us and for sharing your wisdom and your experiences with us.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. And from the Hawaiian word mahalo means thank you, so I always like to conclude with a mahalo. And a hui ho. A hui ho means our paths will cross again. I will see you soon.
That's absolutely wonderful. Thank you to everybody, and take care.